want to greet each one in the precious name of Jesus this morning. Really was blessed by this last song, this song that we just sang, all the songs actually sang this morning there. A blessing. But will your anchor hold? And I remember that one of our children, I can't remember which one, when we sang this, they said, "Fashioned to the rock." And that too, isn't it? You know, fastened and fashioned are very close in meaning, but there's an extra power in that fashioned. I would like to turn to Psalm 42 for reading this morning. Psalm 42. My understanding, this psalm was written at a time when Israel was in, or when the Jews were in captivity in Babylon. And it was a song, it was all, much of it was on remembrance of what they had, what they used to have. And their heart was crying back again to God. So this is a psalmist, this is his perspective. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, the living God. When shall I come and be fear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, "Where is thy God?" When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and from the Hermonites, and from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep, at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, "Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they daily say unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." Twice he mentions in his despair, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, for he is the health of my countenance and my God." You know, I think that's showing us the big picture, that God is all-powerful. He is in the business of changing lives, sometimes changing circumstances, but maybe not. Maybe these people, this person that wrote this, still was a prisoner in the land of Babylon. Maybe that part didn't change, but his perspective changed because he saw God, who he was. And it's a blessing to me to realize that in hostile environments, people like Daniel, people like the three Hebrews that we know about, and people like Nehemiah, people like Joseph and Moses, they were all in hostile territory, and yet they were outstanding men of God, and the people whose lives, whose stories we read today and are inspired by that. In our Sunday school lesson this morning, it mentions the great light that was seven times brighter than the sun. And we didn't get a chance to discuss that much in our Sunday school, but in our class, but Isaiah portrays Jesus as the great light that lights the world. And it was a light for the Gentiles, so it was a light for us. But here is, and when this writer begins this psalm with, "As the heart panteth for the water," just think of how important that water is to life. And Jesus, again, is the water of life. But as the heart panteth for the water, it's known that as these deer are pursued by the dogs, that they use the water as their last resort. And it does wonderful things for them, actually. It hides their scent. And they can hide there, at least for a time. This past week when I was in Hayfield, I came in just as hot as could be. Marcia got me a bucket of cold water and I stuck my feet in there, just my feet. And it cooled my core temperature just really, really quickly. I could feel rejuvenated again just soon. And then I mentioned that to the guys at work and they said, "Yeah, well, if you put your arms in there, it does much the same, just real quickly." And I can imagine that for this deer as he leaped into that cool stream that, you know, almost immediately was rejuvenated and refreshed. He could drink the water. He could cool his body in the stream, and it was refreshed. And, excuse me, and again, ready to face life, face the hounds, face the dogs that were after him. He could be rejuvenated. And the beautiful thing about this is that Jesus is also light. He's also water. And he's the water of life. And he offers that gift to anybody that wants to take that and to be a part of him. And that's what I think is so beautiful about that. I love the scripture in John 7 where it says that in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." That's what he promised. And I just want to read this to the end of the scripture here. "But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, 'Of a truth, this is the prophet.' Others said, 'This is the Christ.' But some said, 'Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was?' So there was a division among the people because of him, and some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they said unto him, 'Why have ye not brought him?' The officers answered, 'Never man spake like this man.' Then answered the Pharisees, 'Are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Nicodemus saith unto them," he that came to Jesus by night being one of them, "'Doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth?' They answered and said unto him, 'Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet.' Every man went to his own house." You know, I love the story of Nicodemus, how he came to Jesus by night and how he asked him these questions that were deep in his heart, and Jesus told him that you must be born again. And he told him that you can tell which way the wind is blowing, but you can't see the wind, but you can see what it does. And he explained that he that believeth on me is the one that is the way to be born again, to really let Jesus change your life. And he's in that process today. And so Nicodemus, even though, you know, he was in this group of Pharisees, and he was right here, he spoke up. He said, doth our law judge any man before it hear him and knoweth what he doeth? There was a voice there, in spite of the fact that he was a Pharisee, very self-righteous group of people as a whole, but individuals among them were true. Well, the thing that I think is encouraging today is that we have these stories in Scripture, and we have people that were true, stayed true, people that were brought up, stayed true to God. But we also have stories currently of people that didn't know anything about God and found him, and it changed their life in a tremendous way. Some years ago, I read the story of the book called Twice Pardoned. And it's a story of a man by the name of Billy Moore. He was a druggie. In May of 1984, I remember that month very well because that's the month we moved from Mississippi to Missouri. It was a good month for me. But in that time in Georgia, he knew his neighbor had kept a lot of money in his bedroom. He was going to go rob him that night. And the neighbor man met him with a shotgun. But Billy returned fire with his gun and killed the man, robbed him, and took his money. And he was soon apprehended. And he pleaded guilty. And so he was sentenced to death. And he was on death row when some Christian workers met him and explained to him, gave him Bible lessons, and eventually he became a follower of Christ. And it so changed his life that he became a leader in Bible study at his prison. And it so changed his life that it got the attention of the warden and the governor and of news articles. And as time went on, his execution date was coming on, and he was it was getting right down to the hours. And the governor granted him a temporary stay of execution. Just months after that, they commuted the sentence to life in prison. And very shortly after that, they set him free entirely. Because of a completely changed life. Excuse me. His story is one that shows you the power of God in a present day more recent history than say 700 years before Christ or something like that. It's something that happens now. His main defense was that his defense. He had no defense because he had pleaded guilty and there was no way that he could appeal anything. But the ones that spoke up for him said, he's not the same. He is not, this is not the same man. It's the same body, but it's not the same man that took the life of that old man and robbed him. It's a different person entirely, and they could tell. There was so much evidence there. So there's so many stories of lives changed when you look for them, that that this scripture that I love so well, that says the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. And that's what these people found way back then. Why art thou disquiet? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Let's come before the Lord in prayer.